Good morning and welcome to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration that will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning, I'm Ariel.
Good morning, I'm Shia. Good afternoon, I'm Shia. And good evening, I'm Shia.
That's right. Wherever you are on our planet, welcome to being here. What, you're consistent in all time zones?
I'm consistently Shia, right.
Today's theme is a fun one. Well, at least for us.
Yes.
God grudges.
I looked at that a moment ago, that title on the computer screen. And I thought that grudges keep you from having a happy, fulfilling life. If you've got grudges, you miss out on your life.
You know,
it's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's a consequence of, you know, a consecutive sequence of events, consequence.
Yeah, the more you rehearse how someone did you wrong, the more you're ruining
this moment of your life. Right.
Oh, you're ready to listen or ready to rumble?
Either one is good enough. Yeah. Whatever you want to do, it's your life.
Listening is really fun. You know, when you listen, life gets so easy. It simplifies things. Listening isn't agreeing, disagreeing, rebutting, talking to yourself, thinking you already know it, finishing someone's sentences.
Yeah. It's more hearing what somebody says without doing anything with it, just allowing it to come into you as an idea, a possibility.
We had a fun conversation at the last Global Video Seminar on Monday night. Ursula had called in from St. Gallen, Switzerland, and we were talking about listening, and Shia mentioned that we all translate what someone is saying in our thoughts. And we asked people about that, and she started laughing and said something to the effect of, oh, when Shia speaks, I often say to myself, oh, what he means is, which is really fun. It is so fun if you can see how you operate without judging what you see.
See the mechanism of your mind rather than realize that it's something you have to work on to fix or change. Because, you know, machines are machines. And as much as you think they should be different, they stay the same. That's what makes them a machine. They do the same thing over and over. And for the most part, without awareness, all human beings, are machines. We operate automatically. We think we are in control, and the machine clamors along.
We have two cars. One is a gasoline-driven car, and one is an electric-driven car. And if we think we need to change them and try to put gas into the electric car,
it has no place to put it.
Yeah, but if you tried to pour it into the input where you
plug the electricity in.
Yes, or you tried to plug the electricity
into
somewhere
the gas tank,
that would ruin both cars.
Yeah, it wouldn't work very well.
So
what's your point?
My point is, who knows what my point is? Actually, you were talking about trying to change yourself, trying to change your thoughts, trying to change your mind. And what if we just let the machine do what the machine does?
And you have a life.
Mm-hmm.
Because see, all those grudges, those are conversations of that machine that complains about everything and wants to blame someone else for everything. What if there's something called, it's not a bad word, responsibility?
What?
Where you're responsible for what happens in your life rather than try to blame it on other people. What if you are responsible for upsetting yourself with what other people say or do and blame the upset on them?
Speaking of upsetting yourself.
I think that's profound what I just said.
It is. You spoke about it in a a different way. We have a new blog. We're having so much fun with our new kitten baby. We've started a blog about it called The Kitten Chronicles. And the most recent one is written by Shia called Offending Myself, A Lesson in Relating, how a cat turning and walking away could be offensive. He could offend himself with that if he's already upset. It's a very fun. We had people who wrote
how
this.
Insensitive she was for my feelings when she just turned her back on
me. I know, turn
and
tail.
Walk
right.
Away.
Yeah. We got an email from someone today saying they were reading one, they were in a traffic jam and the passenger was reading it to the driver and how they just started laughing really hard at the Kitten Chronicle. You can go to transformationmadeeasy.com and sign up for our blog and you'll get one of those each week. We have a caller holding, shall we?
Oh, yes.
We better take her before she gets a grudge with us for
yes,
keeping her waiting.
Right.
All right, Lenore in Montclair. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good, and I'm not holding a grudge against you.
That's good to know.
Yeah. But I have to laugh again at myself because I realized yesterday someone asked me, oh, do you ever hear from your ex-husband? And I said, well, he didn't call me for my birthday, so I guess we're not friendly. I realized I think I have a grudge.
You do? Well, let me ask you something. You say your ex-husband. Do mm-hmm. you are you happier these days than you were when you were together with him?
Absolutely.
And I'm not talking about the first days of your marriage. I'm talking about you ended up getting a divorce.
Right.
So, what is it better now than it was when you were with him?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's an interesting conversation to have with yourself that he didn't call you for your birthday, so you guess you're not friendly. I'm wondering if his not calling you on your birthday
is
a friendly act where he's not intruding, where he's letting you get on with your life, not have to be entangled
or tethered to him
and ideas of what if and did I do it right and just an idea.
Just a thought.
I like it.
You know, yeah. I was married and divorced prior to meeting Ariel. I was married for about 12 of the 14 years I was in that relationship. And truthfully, Lenore, I never on a daily basis think of my ex-wife. It's not that I have a grudge against her, but she has her life and I have my life. And I'm not trying to make what was once an always. I'm not trying to hold together some, blame her for, I can only thank her for asking me to leave. Because I never would have the life I have today if she hadn't.
It's clearly your divorce is a closer in a time frame. So it seems to me that often things soften in time. Not always. Some people are really good at carrying grudges for a long period of time. Yesterday I was speaking to our daughter, my stepdaughter, but the only daughter I have aside from our cat. And she's over here having fun today. And while we were chatting yesterday, I was asking her, hey, how's your mom doing? How's Leo doing, which is her mom's husband? Genuinely interested because those are two people she cares about. And because they're such an integral part to her life. And I wouldn't have a child, a stepchild, without Barbara. And if you hold a grudge against your ex, and for any of the listeners, any ex, whether or not you were...
And any kind of an ex-boss, an ex-boyfriend, an ex-girlfriend.
Then you hamper your ability to have a loving, fulfilling relationship now? Because you're basically making the statement that that person had you be broken somehow. And if that's a fact, then you're building your life right now on this break, as opposed to that was a perfect. It had a beginning, a middle, and end.
You know, our technology is based in three very, very simple principles and one idea. We gave you the idea already about listening without judging or interacting with what you're hearing through what you already know, just to allow what is being said to come into you. That's the idea. The first principle is anything you resist persists, grows stronger, and dominates your life. So if you resist anything that happened in your past, you keep that current in this moment of your life. So you don't have a life in this moment. You have a resentment or a regret about some past event or person. That's the first principle. Anything you resist, you bring with you into this moment. The second principle is that your life shows up exactly as it does in the current moment. So it is a perfect moment because it is whole, it is full, it is complete, and it's immutable. You can't change the way things are in this moment because the moment just passed. You see, it happens that fast that you, in a snap of a finger, you are in a new moment. Well, and the third principle is anything you see and allow to be exactly as is, it completes itself in that instant. So if you see that you've blamed your ex-husband for anything in as far as how you feel or how you felt about yourself, that's all. It's inaccurate. It's erroneous. You blamed the event on how you felt rather than you felt that way, and you looked around for the what you considered to be the cause of it and said, oh, well, he caused me to feel bad. No, you weren't feeling good that day. You were looking for something to upset yourself with.
Or in the case of your birthday, you had so many people on your Zoom birthday party that you had to find some way to
diminish it.
Well, he didn't call me.
But here's the thing. There wasn't enough room on the Zoom page to put them.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So funny. And here's the other thing.
The other thing is you've got embarrassment about that relationship not working out the way you would have preferred.
So do you mean her real grudge is with herself?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
Because a better you would have found the one and it would have been successful in your picture of successful, which is they lived happily ever after. The end.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's awesome.
Okay. So you ready for just one more twist in the Lenore story?
Yes.
Of course you have thoughts of he didn't call me on my birthday because your thought process is pre-programmed to complain. It's pre-programmed to pick an adversary. It's pre-programmed to hold a grudge. It's just going to do those things. And if you see that your thought process works that way and you don't judge yourself for having the thoughts run that way, then they don't dominate your life. They're just a thought that goes through.
Well, here's the thing. Somehow I equate this to money. And I'll tell you what I mean.
Okay.
You invest money. Like we invested quite a bit of money in a retreat center that we built in Bali, Indonesia many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit of money, you know. More hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Majority of our income for several years
went into the building and the maintaining of this place. And one day, we realized that we were not going to be able to fix the bad water of that land was on, and people would continue to get sick and somebody would die there. So we gave it all up. We just walked away from it, abandoned it.
Did we make a mistake? Was the investment spent badly? Absolutely not.
No, because we got all kinds of beautiful, very expensive artwork from Bali.
That's right.
but you know, you think about the money as an investment, as the same way you think about relationship as an investment, and you want a return, and you don't always want the return you get.
Right.
You know, look, frequently I say to Ariel when we spend some money frivolously or it doesn't work out for Ariel, this is just a couple of bad meals in New York City.
Yeah.
Expensive and tasteless.
I mean, have you ever done that? You've gone out for a meal and you get the meal and you're like, oof, you know.
We don't have to come back here again.
We don't have to come back here again. That wasn't what I expected.
Absolutely.
But you still pay for the meal anyway. You don't walk out and say, hey, man, you have really lousy tasting food.
That's it. I'm not saying, yeah, definitely. Definitely have that experience. Man.
Well, it's the same thing with every grudge you hold. That grudge keeps you from having a life in this moment.
And it also makes you second guess next time you go to a restaurant. You're like, oh, will I pick a bad one like the last time? Will I waste my money? Maybe I'll try something like a little, like just an appetizer, even though I'm really hungry.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and you know, this grudge keeps you from investing in, I won't say it, the name that comes to mind.
Yeah, that one.
But other possible relationships.
And, when you paused, I said, in this moment.
And, yes, in this moment. And I'm not pressuring you to go out with anybody. I'm just saying, you know, if you're still resisting an old relationship, you're drilling a hole in the boat of the new relationship, and it will sink.
Right. Got it.
I know.
We're
moving to the end of this segment, but I really want to circle back around to something we haven't really spoken about on this episode, which is that all of our work, all of our approach, our entire life stemmed from the moment Shia had a spontaneous, deep experience of the perfection of the moment. And in that perfection, he experienced the perfection of him. And I just wanted to leave you with that, Lenore, because it's been so lovely to speak with you today. And you're perfect.
Exactly the way you are.
Including having an ex who didn't call you for your birthday.
And we have to go to a break right now. So
we'll be back shortly, everyone.
So come on back and don't miss being here.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-888-346-9141. That number again is 1-888-346-9141. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. If you would like to have an interactive conversation with us, in addition to, like Lenore just had calling in, we're doing global video seminars. They're 2-hour events, most Saturdays, most Mondays, and
occasional Tuesdays.
We also have global video weekend seminars. The next one we have is August 1st and 2nd on the theme of creativity
and intuition.
Did we mention we finish each other's sentences?
Not on this show.
Well, we do.
That's for sure.
All of our seminars are currently being held virtually, so you can come from
anywhere in the world.
Oh, in fact, Cheryl, who normally calls in from Hong Kong, shout out to you, Cheryl. A friend of hers signed up for this Saturday, so we'll meeting up some other folks from Hong Kong
as well this week.
So wherever you are listening to the show from, you are welcome to partake of our global video seminars. You can find out more about all our courses and register
at transformationmadeeasy.com.
All right, let's take our next caller.
Yes.
Aisha, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ariel and Saya. How are you?
We're great.
Excellent.
Even better now that we're talking with you.
That's awesome to hear. I was just listening to what you were saying to Lenore, and it really, really resonated with me. I've been dating someone.
What particularly are you talking about? Because it's too general. It resonated with you because we spoke about a lot of things.
This is true. What resonated with me was bringing the past into a current situation and how my brain is conditioned to complain and make lists of wrongs and do that with the person that I'm about to speak about and recognizing that, oh, I think this has to do with something that happened way, way, way before I even met this person. So that's
by that,
what resonated with
are
me.
You saying in you or in them? This happened way before you met this person.
Right, yes, it happened with me before I met that person.
Yeah, well, look, you know, you got to be kind to yourself, Aisha. Really, you assume so much. You know, I'm big on personal responsibility and not blaming people, but you got to be kind to yourself because you are much harder on you than anybody else would be. And those things that happened in your past were part of the fabric that brought you to the current moment of your life. They were necessary to get you to this moment, to this conversation. If you didn't go through those, quote, heartbreaking situations that happened, you'd not be here right now. You wouldn't be you.
True.
See, you're not the victim of your life unless you say you are. And we've all been taught to be the victim of our lives. You know, planet Earth is not a kind, loving place.
And you know, paradoxically, there are people out there victimizing others. And if you personally haven't been, quote, victimized, your ancestors probably were. It could be true for all of us. But that mm-hmm. doesn't mean that we have to hold grudges against anyone for anything. And we can be still be true to our, I don't want to say morals, our
beliefs.
Internal
standards.
Compass.
Well, not really to our standards.
It's not really standards,
because your standards are something that were impressed upon you at a young age. So you had no control over that. You were given your standards, and you either resisted it and do the opposite of what those people tried to teach you, or you are obedient to it.
True.
Anyway, I guess I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, because this is so, it's so very, very helpful. You know, I'm just internalizing what you're saying, and, you know, it really applies. You know, I've been dating someone for about 2.5 years, and, you know, I am not married with kids. He does have kids. So time is often, you know, a challenge for us, because of that. And I do try to allow for, you know, make as much space as possible. But recently I was on vacation and I came home and we saw each other briefly. And, a couple of days ago, I wanted to make plans this week to go to the beach. So I reached out to him and said, hey, let's, you know, how about we make some plans? And I didn't hear back from him. So I said, oh, he must be busy. And I tried reaching out again. And he texted me back and said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm hanging out with the boys right now. And I said, okay, give me a call back later on tonight. Didn't hear from him. And that's when my mind started to spiral and I went into...
Well, you mean that's, you know, when you started to hurt yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's when the list came in and the, this has happened before and why does he do this and why do I put myself in this position and da da da, like the victim
yes.
Really, really only just came out, but she was screaming and yelling and having a fit. And then I calmed myself down, tried to, you know, rationalize myself, woke up the next morning, went for a run to clear my head, tried getting in contact with him again, and then he finally called me back. We had a brief conversation, and again, he said, I'll give you a call later, and that was last night, and I still haven't heard from him. So,
well, you know, there's so much.
This is very rich.
Yes, there's so much in this gravy. I just see multiple layers to it, Aisha.
What?
First of all, you picked a gentleman with 2 children who, in this world situation right now, and maybe always, but there's a investment he's making in his kids. And I would be willing to bet that there have been times you've been really relieved that you haven't had to spend more time with them, that the amount of time you spent together was just enough.
Yes, there have definitely have been times.
Right. And I would also bet that right now you're a lot more socially isolated, and so your mind likely ticks off to, oh, wouldn't it be great to spend more time with him? True?
Also true, yes.
Okay. The other thing, too, is you guys may have gotten into a habit of him having to tell you what you want to hear, like call you later, rather than looking and saying, I'll call you in the next couple days, or you probably won't hear from me till Thursday. So somehow there's a rhythm right now where you aren't being, you're not necessarily being really straightforward, but also I'm not sure you're looking to see whether or not you're compatible anymore. Whether he's giving you messages, he may not be, but I'm not sure you're asking, like, are we okay? Do you need space? Is this working for you anymore? Mm. Or you're not asking yourself that. Is this okay for me? Is this working for me?
People frequently operate in a condition of scarcity, like there's nobody else in the world that would love them. And there are billions of people on this planet, literally. I imagine in the town you live, there are probably 10 to 20,000 men that are eligible for your standards or what you're looking for in a relationship. But you couldn't date all of them, but you hold on to one and try to make him fit all the
criteria.
The criteria that you've pre-assigned to relationship from the fantasy that most of us live about what a relationship is. Rather than looking and seeing what's where you are now. You victimize yourself that you have to be with him when you are.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, it happens to work out good that day. But if anything interferes with the way your preferences, and you are so normal. See, I'm not saying this like there's some deficiency in you. I'm saying that you have the normal reactions that people have based on the not knowing that you are not your thoughts. Because you think that what you think is you thinking, rather than it's a random generating machine that gets stimulated by its environment and then randomly generates the same thoughts over and over. Now, there's so many thoughts that you don't realize that they're the same thoughts. But if you look, you'll see you have the same thoughts over and over.
I was typing in a Google document today. And it has this feature similar to what you might see with an autocorrect thing on my iPhone. But it has a feature that if I'm starting a sentence, it anticipates what it thinks I'm saying and fills in with several words grayed out. And if I hit the tab button, it writes them for me. So it saves me from typing. And I believe the program itself doesn't just put in random words. It learns from past documents, your rhythm, your syntax, phrases you've used, because it comes up with words like transformation. I don't believe that people in general on all Google Docs would get the word transformation to fill in the midst of writing a sentence.
But since that's what we talk about, write about, it is a regularly used word in our lexicon.
And it's fun to see how sometimes it gets it wildly wrong, but how often it really is at least in the direction. Sometimes it's not nuanced with what I want to say, but it moves in the direction of what I am saying or what my thought processes provide. So, of course, your thought processes say the same things over and over.
But here's the thing, sweetie. If you get yourself upset over what happens, what this fellow does or doesn't do, it keeps you from having a life in this moment of now. You get upset on how it should have gone, what you should have said, what you should have done, and you miss out on this moment of your life because you're complaining about a past event that you can't do anything about because it's gone by. And then you make decisions which are blanket statements about how you're going to be in the future based on an event that you found painful, negative, you disagreed with in your past. So
yeah,
it's really it creates a disaster in the possibility of having a life in the current moment when you make decisions yeah. about how you're going to be based on an upset from your past.
The other thing about that is those kind of grudges or those decisions get between you and your natural knowing and your ability to be creative. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we're doing the creativity and intuition seminar coming up. So one of the things that happens for me is when I'm involved or invested in being a part of one of our seminars, I start seeing things like that. Because mm-hmm. if you automatically are like, well, he's not calling me again, you don't tune in and go, oh, wow, I'll bet you he's with his boys today and they're feeling kind of needy.
Or you don't look at, what do I need to do that I don't want to do that I could get distracted by his not calling?
Yeah.
Because I find being upset at somebody particularly, you know, they're at a distance, but they're not performing the way I want is just a brilliant distraction from something creative in nature that I don't know how to do. So I have come to discover if I have that type of thought process running through my head, I kind of look around and see what's on my list or on my computer or in our house that I'm not attending to.
Yeah. It's funny because one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately is I really want to do more writing and I should really start to get more writing done. And I really haven't been doing much writing.
Well, it's, you know, writing is challenging. It's a creative process, you know, and you don't know how it's going to turn out. And it's a lot easier to get upset with somebody else than engage in that unknown, the intimacy of the moment.
You know, that is one of the things that plays in the gap between you and actually engaging in those activities or those creative things that you have to do. And also just one other thing. I know we're moving toward the end of this segment, but when you say I should be doing more writing, I get an impression that you have a picture of writing. So it's not just it does not include the possibility of just sitting down for 5 minutes or 10 minutes and seeing what flies out of you. Doing writing is like this
a process,
ponderous process that is weighty. And if you're doing it correctly, you should sit all afternoon or you should schedule yourself for great blocks and get to it and do it. The idea of how you should go about the writing in and of itself doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, and that the idea itself might be suppressing you.
Fun. Could be a whole
it's funny that
other
you say that,
new
Ariel,
thing.
Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
No, I kind of came to that conclusion last night, actually, and it took away my spiraling about the guy. I literally just kind of sat and typed stream of consciousness, like I should be writing, why am I, and all this stuff did come out, and that was actually kind of fun. And then I looked at what I wrote and I started laughing because it was like, wow, there was all that in there and I'm actually kind of funny. And I totally see what you're saying there.
Well, good for you, but next time you don't have to engineer an upset to spur it, just saying.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
With that,
we're gonna go to a break. Thank you for calling in today.
It was a treat. We'll be back shortly, everyone.
So come on back.
And don't
miss
being here.
Feeling inspired, entertained, enlightened? Would you like more? Ariel and Shia invite you to participate in their fun and lively transformational seminars that have allowed people across the globe to have highly satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Join the Canes and their amazing community live and in person in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Ready to deepen your experience of instantaneous transformation in your career, family, and relationships? Then take the leap. Register today at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. call and ask questions on Being Here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. Transformationmadeeasy.com, the Excellence Club. This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
We're on Alexa smart speakers and connected devices.
Hey, Alexa, play Being Here podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Try it now.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-888-346-9141. That number again is 1-888-346-9141. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening.
Yes, thanks for listening.
Hey, if you're enjoying the show, feel free to share it on social media, share it with your friends. Just don't share it with somebody you have a grudge with, because they'll probably think you're trying to fix them and they... What do you mean? But
you probably will be trying to fix them.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, we're always trying to fix ourselves. So the game is to be kind to yourself and give yourself a break and share transformation, because it makes a difference. It's the alternative to being upset most all the time. And I say most all because if I said all, people would offend themselves.
But also, there are times you get triggered and you lose yourself. And part of the game is to find your way back to center without making yourself wrong for having lost your step.
Yeah. So we want to shout out to our listeners in Dickinson, Texas.
Or also, shout out to all of those who listen from Aurora, Colorado.
And from Suffern, New York. I used to spend a lot of time near Suffern, New York, in Spring Valley, New York.
Okay. So thank you for listening. And Hatteras, North Carolina.
And Filey, England.
Solothurn, Switzerland. Tianju, Korea, and Erfurt, Germany. How's that? I did all three.
Yes, I'm glad you did. I was, my dyslexia was going crazy with Tiandu.
Oh, you did good though.
I know.
So wherever you're listening from, we really appreciate it. And thank you. And we hope you're all being well and staying safe.
Right.
All right. We have a caller holding. It's Tanya.
From Oxford, England.
Hello, Tanya. Been missing you lately.
Yes, we've been thinking about you.
Hi, guys. Lovely to hear you.
Lovely to hear you. I saw something on a Facebook post of yours. You look like you're growing some pretty awesome potatoes.
Oh, yes. Yes, we just harvested them. It's very exciting.
They look like gold. What can we do for you?
As you were speaking, actually, I could see that the grudge that I wanted to talk about is something that's past and I can't do anything about. So it's kind of interesting that I still am holding on to it.
Well,
yeah.
So when you say
so who is he?
That's right.
It's not a he. It's not a he.
Oh, good.
It's
in the See? Just so you know, it used to always be a he. I don't know if you were listening to Lenore. It always used to be your ex. So, hey, why not? The mind just is like a grudge machine. So now you have a new one. What is it?
Yeah. So over the last few months, there's been a lot of conflict between colleagues of mine. in the small organization that I work for, and it's resulted in this month two of my colleagues resigning, one of which is the person who kind of brought me into the organization, has been a bit of a mentor, and I just find myself now I'm holding a grudge against my remaining colleagues for not being able to, I guess, resolve the conflict that they have between them. And I feel it in how I'm interacting with them. I feel that when they ask something of me, I'm slightly reluctant or a bit defensive if we don't agree on things. I have had good working relationships with all of my colleagues, and I want to be able to have that, but I can sort of feel my kind of reluctance or resentment in my dealings with them now.
Well, let's talk about being right
versus
being alive.
See, it costs you something to be right. It always costs. Everything in this life costs. You know, you live in a house or an apartment, Tanya?
An apartment.
You have to pay rent to live in that apartment, yes?
No, I own it.
But wait a second. Then you pay
taxes.
Yes.
Or you pay maintenance. So there's always a cost. It's not free.
It's not like you buy it and then that's it. It's free and clear forever. There's maintenance. There's taxes.
If you live in an apartment, we'll call it the right apartment, there's rent to pay. And there's another apartment called the alive apartment, where there's the experience of love and happiness, health, full self-expression as experience, not as ideas. But then there's a cost to live in that apartment too. The cost to live in the alive apartment is you have to give up being right. And the cost to live in the right apartment is you have to give up your experience of aliveness. It's that simple. They're like water and oil. They're not miscible. You can't just be a little bit alive and a little bit right at the same time. That doesn't mean you can't be accurate, but your intention to be right, to punish someone for their behavior, that hurts you. Right. That robs you of your experience of love.
Yeah. The other thing is, your mentor left, and you don't like it. You're operating as if it wasn't a perfect move.
For both their points of view, but you're also operating as though your mentor was right and this person was wrong.
Okay.
I had this really great...
I haven't seen it like that.
Yeah, I have a great something for you to read. We wrote this book called Being Here Too. And there's this chapter in there, it's called Something's Missing. And it's written by this woman named Tanya.
Who lives in Oxford, in England.
Yeah, and I think you ought to read it.
Okay, yeah.
Because here's the thing, Tanya, we were talking about this earlier, that we all have thoughts that repeat themselves and ways of approaching situations that repeat themselves.
And it's all mechanical.
And when you get upset, those mechanics re-engage.
But when you bring awareness, a non-judgmental seeing to those thought processes and those ways of relating, they lose their power over you. You're not sucked into the vortex of the upset.
You know, and if I'm recalling this chapter correctly, the author saw that there was something more important than being right, which is the well-being of these two people she was interacting with. And I have a feeling that where you work, the projects you work on are more important to you than petty squabbles with the people you're working with.
Yes.
And the other thing is this, Tanya, you have abilities that you expect other people, like your
coworker,
to have, and then you resent it when they don't think the way you do. But you see, we all have that idea that other people think like us. But, you know, criminals think very differently than you do. You'd never think of stealing. And if you did, it would be an instantaneous thought that would be dismissed and not entertained.
Yeah, you don't go into your neighbor's apartment and take their maintenance money and go, oops.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing, I don't know if you're listening to Aisha, but she came to realize that this upset she was having with the fellow she's dating who hadn't called her saved her from something.
It served a purpose.
Because she might just have to get down to doing some creative things that she finds confronting. And I wouldn't be surprised if this ongoing tension that you're experiencing with your coworkers, you're doing things to keep it in place, kind of like the plate spinner in the
circus
that just adds a little energy to that situation.
Keeps it going.
Because if not, you'd have to leave the room and do something different.
Yeah, I can really see that, because there's quite a lot of, with the leaving of my colleague as well, there's a degree of stepping up for me.
Yes.
In projects that we worked on together. And yeah, it's a bit scary.
Yes.
Good for you,
right. Hey, thank you for calling in. We have another caller waiting.
So we're going to take her, but we really enjoyed this conversation.
Yes, we did.
And hope you to see you sometime soon.
Thanks.
Yes.
Bye. All right, let's take Ursula from Switzerland. Oh, I was just speaking about you. I didn't realize you were going to be on the show, but I should have. Welcome.
Yeah, hello. This is Ursula from Switzerland. I had to giggle when you talked about that. Oh, goodness. It was so funny. Thank you for that show. It was so interesting. I've been able to listen to all of it. And I heard, because I knew I was going to call into that show, I read this article that Chaya wrote about the kitty. And I thought, oh, grudges. Oh, that's already a grudge. Yes, you're right. And, you know, she turns away. You want her to come back, and you have a plan to, you know, for revenge or something. And I was looking around. I was in the city today shopping, and I was just observing things. And I couldn't find a special counter where I could collect one of like a trophy. When you have so many points in that shopping center, you get a trophy, and you pay just a fraction of the price of some products. And I was walking around, and I couldn't find it because they're remodeling the shop. And so I went down, and I asked the cashier there, and she said, no, you have to go up. And up looked totally different. And then I went to the counter there, and I saw this man that's with the client service. I said, do you have this trophy? And he said, well, what would you like? And I said, well, I'd love that fitness mat. And he said, oh, we're out of that. We only have a few products left. And I heard myself going, and I thought, that sounds like a little dog. And I said, well, what do you have left? And he said, well, you just go over there, the table, that's all that's left. Maybe we get some more things in. And I went over there, and then I stood in front of that table, and I remembered that I actually didn't want the map, that I had looked at the prospect at home, and I thought, oh no, would be nice to have like some kind of electrical gadget for the iPhone to have like a speaker. And I took it and I went back to the counter, and the guy looked at me and he said, "Oh, good afternoon, man." And I heard myself go, "Blah, blah, blah. He doesn't even remember me."
Well, he may not have remembered you, Ursula,
because you might have transformed from the time you showed up to the time you re-showed up.
So when you're saying, "Can I have my trophy or award or the what you get for accumulating points at your store?" And he tells you, "You can't buy the thing you or get as a reward the thing you think you want," and you get all growly. Your face probably looked a lot different when you came back happy.
I did. I like that idea. That didn't even come into my mind. Yes.
No, and you're in the midst of a gripe about somebody or something, then that's the only thing you get occupied with.
But we're almost at the end of the show, but I have a really great visual. You know, these can be upsetting times for people right now. And sometimes there are upsets going right along the surface. So it's almost like you're a stone skipping. And every once in a while, you skip up this upset. Because here you are at a very little trigger. Things get growly for you, like you say, like a little dog. But if you don't be hard on yourself for having that on tap, it goes away quite quickly. Kind of like it did when you went over and actually looked at the table rather than invest in the growl.
Yeah. Well, I got that freedom through you and transformation. It's thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for calling into the show today. Really a treat to have you.
Yeah, you know, and what's possible is a different world.
Next week's show is We're in a Different World. And you can connect with us between now and next week many different ways. Go to transformationmadeeasy.com or the Transformation Made Easy Facebook community page. But we'll be back next week.
So come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another empowering episode of Being Here.